From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, Alaska will receive recovery funds for the 2016 pink salmon season in the Gulf, but there are still a lot of unknowns surrounding their distribution. Also, Kodiak is losing its fisheries analyst, at least temporarily. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
The president signed a bill this month that directs recovery funds to fisheries disasters on the West Coast, including in Alaska, but it's still unclear how the limited funds will be distributed. In a letter to the U.S. Senate in January, senators wrote that they saw a $150 million need in Alaska following the 2016 pink salmon season disaster in the Gulf. They also identified a $140 million need for the fisheries disasters in California and a $117 million need for those in Washington state. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski was among those to sign the letter and said the Bipartisan Budget Act grants the three states a lot less than the requested amount.
There's only $200 million that has been identified for all nine of these disasters. So there's going to have to be a level of prioritization. There's going to have to be just some critical evaluation of what the criteria will be.
So far, that process is murky. Barbara Blake, a fisheries staffer and senior advisor to the governor and lieutenant governor, says the state congressional delegation will work with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to determine where the funds will be placed. While eight other fisheries disasters are vying for the funds, Blake says the governor's office is hopeful about Alaska's claim.
As we were told, our data is very good in comparison to others who didn't have as comprehensive data when they submitted their numbers in relation to their disaster declarations.
Kodiak is one of the areas in the state waiting for funds. Representative Louis Stutz says they had hoped for more money, but at least it's something.
No matter how little or how much, every bit makes a difference to a fisherman.
So far, state leaders are not sure about a timeline for the distribution of the funds. Citing concerns of declining Chinook salmon stocks throughout Southeast, the Ketchikan Char King Salmon Derby Committee decided to skip the derby that traditionally starts on the Memorial Day weekend. They'll hold a silver salmon contest later in the summer instead. Michael Briggs is coordinator of the derby.
So even going back to last year, we were kind of anticipating some stricter regulations coming into this year. And so we started weighing options even a year ago. But the general consensus of the committee was to go ahead and move it to a silver salmon derby rather than put the pressure on the king salmon as we do each year.
Kelly Ruppert is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Ketchikan Area Sport Fish Management Biologist. She says king salmon stocks in Southeast are in a period of low production, and fish returning to the Unic River near Ketchikan is a stock of concern.
Unic River king salmon escapement goals were met for the last 35 consecutive years, but since 2012, the lower bound of the escapement goal has been missed in five out of the past six consecutive years.
In January, the Board of Fisheries adopted a plan identifying specific management actions to conserve Unic River salmon. For the Ketchikan Area Sport Fishery, Robert says that includes closures in certain areas. Where king salmon fishing is allowed, she says the bag limit is one king for all anglers, with a non-resident annual limit of three kings. Robert says those rules may change if it's determined more restrictions are necessary. Other Southeast communities have canceled or modified their 2018 King Salmon Derbies, including Juneau, Petersburg, and Wrangell. Briggs says the Ketchikan Salmon Derby Committee considered several options, including changing the dates of the derby before making a final decision.
This is a resource that we obviously rely on for our recreation, but, king salmon fishing is also a very important resource for us commercially, and so we thought it was a good idea to kind of lay off the fish for a year or two. Hopefully the stocks will replenish. And before you know it, we'll be doing a King Salmon Derby again.
Briggs says this year's Silver Salmon Derby will maintain the same format as the King Derby, taking place over three consecutive weekends, including one three-day weekend. The Derby will open August 18th and conclude on Labor Day. Briggs says prize packages for the 30 ladder spots will be finalized within the next few months, but the top prize of $10,000 for the largest salmon will remain. He says ticket prices will likely remain the same as well. Proceeds from ticket sales benefit the Ketchikan Char Education Fund. According to a press release from Char, since taking over the Derby in 2006, more than $120,000 has been awarded to local students.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A company that turns seaweed into pasta products is establishing a permanent office in the city of Kodiak. California-based Blue Evolution is part of Alaska's growing seaweed industry. They kicked off Kodiak's first commercial kelp harvest last year and are on their second round of outplanting seaweed in Kodiak waters. Luke Knowles, Blue Evolution Vice President of Operations, says they've worked with locals to establish kelp farms in Kodiak's Chiniak Bay, Larsen Bay, and Onion Bay, and a fourth farm in the Ketchikan area. They've also formed partnerships with local organizations like Alaska Sea Grant, a program for research into marine resources.
We have invested significant quantities of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, into trying to jumpstart a seaweed economy in Alaska. So that might be in the form of equipment, in the form of payment to seaweed farmers that we're working with, and in all of the general services that we need to just run a business in Kodiak.
Part of the local investment means processing the seaweed in the city of Kodiak, and that remains a work in progress.
It's a very bulky, heavy, sometimes slimy sort of product, and so harvesting it out on the water, getting it up to the facility where we process, and getting that into a dried form, it just takes a lot of effort and a lot of slime.
And a lot of noise. Last year, Blue Evolution processed its seaweed at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center, and it was a sure thing that employees took note. This is what KMXT heard just outside the pilot plant at the time. Tamsin Peoples, who handles the company's Alaska operations and will move to Kodiak next month, says processing should be quieter this year.
If we use that same prototype, there's definitely going to be a lot more sound reduction and increased efficiency. We were just, again, it was a prototype. It was pretty rushed project for us to get it up there in time. So we're hoping to increase, number one, the sound installation on it, definitely. And then number two, the efficiency on running our material through there.
People says last year they produced a small experimental amount of seaweed using the machine. And this year they hope to move up to a commercial scale. She says Blue Evolution outplanted the latest crop of seaweed in November, and they're starting to see visible growth. For some fishermen, moving into the processing world is one way to build their prospects. But before that can happen, they need to get the required certification. A few seafood processors and would-be processors did that recently in the city of Kodiak. They took a 2-day Hazard Analysis Critical Control Point, or HACCP class, which covers possible seafood hazards. It's one of a handful of classes Alaska Sea Grant holds annually around the state. KMXT dropped by the 5-person class and met a couple of Bristol Bay fishermen with high hopes. Harry Wassily Jr. is a salmon fisherman.
Chinook, sockeye, coho, chum, and pink.
He says he wants to expand his range to halibut.
It's been in our community for many of years now, and it's just something new to me. And I just inherited my father's boat and permit, so I'm the next line of fishermen that needs to figure out other doors to open for this industry.
Wassily says he fishes out of Dillingham, Nooshigak, and Igigik, and usually sells his catch to Trident Seafoods. But he wants to strike out on his own.
This is a big step for me as far as being a sole owner, I guess, a business owner, a fisherman.
He says he imagines his company being land-based. His uncle, Steve Wassily, is also a salmon fisherman. He says he's looking into learning how to harvest halibut and Pacific cod, and says he's open to the idea of establishing a processing plant or floating processor.
This is a big opportunity for us to step out and do something and make jobs, not only for us, but for our family members.
While many seafood processor employees attend HACCP classes, instructor Chris Sanito says it's not unusual for ambitious fishermen to sign up.
New people are constantly coming into the industry, and recently there's been a lot of interest in small boat fishermen that want to sell their own catch off their boats.
He says he's noticed that as a rising trend among his students across the state. For KMXT, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported, in part, by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Vessels anchoring outside of Juneau's harbors but within the city waters will soon need a permit if they remain more than 24 hours. The Juneau Assembly approved the regulations crafted by the Docks and Harbors Board. Most of the affected waters are 200 yards from the breakwater barriers at Juneau's three harbors. Juneau Port Director Carl Yucatil said the goal is to prevent boats from becoming a public nuisance or liability.
We're trying to be reasonable and understand that there are transient boaters that want to come through and use our tidelands, and that's exactly what we want to provide that resource. We do not want to be wet storage for vessels that are evicted out of the harbors and have a place for safe anchorage.
The new rules will go into effect in early March. The Canadian owner of an Atlantic salmon farm that collapsed last summer says it will fight under a free trade agreement to save its fish farms in Puget Sound. Cook Aquaculture claims it's being treated unfairly. It's been targeted since it let an estimated 250,000 fish escape last August. The company says it will pursue arbitration under the North American Free Trade Agreement if the Washington State Legislature tries to phase out Atlantic salmon farming. The Senate has already passed such a bill and is under consideration in the House. Company Vice President Jill Richardson says Cook has been willing to compromise. He says it offered to raise only female fish to prevent escaped salmon from taking over wild salmon streams.
The Senate and the House is really leaving us with very few options to be able to continue our operations here.
Richardson says the company will seek to recover lost profits and the $76 million it has invested in its fish farms in Washington state.
They're taking that investment away unjustly, and that deserves compensation, and there's a very real possibility that that could be arbitrated under NAFTA.
The previous American owners of the fish farms also had major structural failures and salmon escapes. Yet the state never tried to shut them down, Cook complains. Those big salmon escapes took place in the 1990s. Roughly 600,000 Atlantic salmon escaped Washington fish farms between 1996 and 1999, according to the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. Some members of the Alaska fishing industry are concerned that the fish will swim north and introduce non-native species into the Alaska population. Cook is the only commercial producer of farmed salmon in the United States. It purchased Seattle-based Icicle Seafoods and its eight salmon farms in Washington state in 2016. The United States has never lost such an arbitration under NAFTA or any other trade agreement. Washington Department of Natural Resources and the legislation's sponsor could not be reached for immediate comment.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KRBD's Maria Dudzak, KTOO's Jacob Resnick, and the Northwest News Network's John Ryan. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.